Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
Roland Martin. Today on News One Now, Sacramento Mayor Kevin Johnson continues to fight for school choice. Black kids are failing across the country. The question is, will we have the guts to be able to take advantage of laws allowing us to educate our own kids? We'll talk about that up next. Nebraska becomes the first conservative state to abolish the death penalty in more than 40 years. We'll tell you about the black dating apps that are catching fire on the single scene. Plus, we've got some crazy news stories on our What the Hell segment today. It's time to bring the funk on News One Now right here on TV One. Before we talk education, let's talk about what's happening in Texas and Oklahoma, where parts of the two states have been hit hard by floodwaters and swept through the region. Two dozen folks have been killed so far. More than 1,000 homes have been damaged. The area remains under a flood watch. The National Weather Service says the region may get more rain in the coming days. And also, nearly a dozen folks are still missing. And so certainly for a lot of folks there, certainly be safe as the floodwaters rise all across the great state of Texas and Oklahoma. Let's get to our other issue, and that is the one that I always talk about, I believe in, that is school choice. It is hotly debated across this country. But the real question that I have is, why is it that when it comes to African Americans, we are in many ways opposing school choice when it is an option for us to be able to educate our kids? One of the things that we keep hearing is that, oh, it's going to somehow destroy public schools. Well, tell that to the kids who are not getting education right now. One of the folks who is a big advocate on this issue is Kevin Johnson. He is the mayor of Sacramento. He is very much involved traveling across this country on this issue. He joins us right now. Mayor Johnson, good to have you back.
Awesome. Thank you.
Now, of course, you and I, we've been in Memphis, Atlanta, Tulsa, Nashville, dealing with this particular issue. But I want to start it off this way, because I think this is important. Because often what happens when we are talking about education, we're talking about the numbers, and we're talking about what's happening with our kids, folks don't actually see this. So, Shelley, pull up my iPad, please. I am showing what's on the screen right now, folks, is a feeder school that is patterned in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so what you have is you have Central High School in Tulsa, Oklahoma, okay, 9th through 12th. That's an F. Central Junior High School, 7th and 8th grade, the school is rated an F. The five elementary schools that feed into Tulsa all have Fs. So essentially, Mayor Johnson, the moment a kid walks into Academy Central, Burroughs, Shotile, Mark Twain, and Emerson Elementary Schools, they essentially are guaranteed from elementary school, by the time they graduate, to go to schools where they all are rated Fs.
It's a crisis, and it's unfortunate that a lot of families and communities don't understand it. How can you go to a failing school, an elementary school, and there's five of them, and then you feed into a middle school or two middle schools that are failing? You have no choice but to end up into a failing high school.
Showing right now is Atlanta. Fitch, Gideon's, Perkinson, Slater, Thomasville, all elementary schools, Fs. Both middle school, F. The high school, F.
We've got to be able to have our families understand what's at stake, and we need our families to be able to have choices. We want, you know, we want people as an elected, you know, well, I'm a mayor of Sacramento and in charge of, you know, mayors around the country in terms of fighting for ed reform. And it's so important for us as elected officials to put kids first, to make sure you have quality teachers in the classroom, but parents have to have choices, and it's not an either or. In this world is, parents have to have choices. You cannot be trapped in failing schools. And that's what choice is all about. In the African-American community, going back 40, 50, 60 years, we were for choice. We were for options.
Now, what's interesting to me is that, and folks say, well, you're taking money out of the public schools. My response to that is, well, you're talking about continuing to send money into schools that are not doing their job when it comes to educating our kids. I'm gonna pull up one more graphic. This is Nashville. Okay, again, another feeder pattern here. 89% this elementary school below proficient, 84, 78, 75, 87. Go to the middle schools, 88, 73. Go to the high school, 88. And so in reading and English, an average of 83% of black students are below proficient in these, in this particular feeder pattern there in Nashville.
unacceptable. Crisis, we need to do something about it, and it has to happen now. And for me, when I think about young kids, when you only have 20% of our kids reading at grade level, that means you're not going to graduate high school. It means you're not going to get a good job. It means you have to be very creative on how to earn a living. You're not going to be able to do it and have a meaningful job and employment. When you think about our country, if you graduate high school, you're going to make $300,000 more in your lifetime than somebody who doesn't graduate high school. When you graduate college, you're going to make $1.5 million more in your lifetime than somebody who doesn't. So it ties to income, it ties to education. The Urban League just put out a report that said every positive indicator, the African-American community is at the bottom, and every bad indicator for success, we're at the top. And education is the linchpin for all of it. We cannot have our kids trapped in failing schools and failing patterns. There's no way that our kids should be subject to that type of environment.
One of the things that, again, when this topic comes up, and I love the talking points from critics who will say that, well, if you look at the data, charters as a whole, and I say, well, look, I can say the data as a whole because of public education. My philosophy on this, and tell me if you agree, is simple. I believe in what works. If a traditional school works, you go in, you replicate it, you study it, you replicate it. If there's a charter school that works, study it, replicate it. If it is failing, you get rid of it. You get rid of failure, traditional or charter or magnet or whatever. You get rid of failure.
All we believe is that kids around the country, especially in our communities, should have an opportunity to go to a good school. If it's a good traditional public school, then let's replicate it. Let's make sure there's more of them. If it's a good public charter school, let's make sure we replicate and we have more of them. If it's a good private school, great, then let's give opportunities for our kids to go to those private schools. If it's online, if it's homeschool, it doesn't matter what it is. We need to make sure that our families are not trapped in failing schools, and we have to give choices to our kids.
What drives me also crazy is that the law allows us to, in essence, run our own schools. Eric Mahmoud in Minneapolis, he runs a series of charter schools. He said they're going to be building, trying to expand and also building new schools. He's now deciding who gets the contracts, construction contracts, carpeting contracts, janitorial contracts. And so this goes beyond just educating the kids. This is also about creating economic opportunities for African Americans as opposed to complaining. And say, well, you got these white folks creating charter schools. There's no reason you can't have a black-owned KIPP school.
There's two issues here. One, there's states like Georgia. They have something called the Opportunity School District, and there are states in Tennessee that have the Achievement School District, which means the bottom 5% of schools, you can actually go in and basically turn around those schools or turn them into a public charter school. It gives us a chance. There's a law, a policy that allows us to run our school system in those two states. What Eric is talking about is he's talking about income, he's talking about wealth, and he's talking about controlling resources in a real way. There's going to be 124 million high-paying jobs that require a high skill by 2020. Right now, our country, only 50 million of those jobs are going to be filled by people in this country.
50 out of 124 million.
74 million of those jobs are going to come from people from China and India and somewhere else around the country. We need our kids to be able to be in a position to take advantage of those jobs. So income, resources, wealth are all critical, but at the end of the day, there are laws and policies in place that give our community, our faith leaders, our churches, our civil rights organizations an opportunity to take control of our own destiny in our neighborhoods.
Last question, can you somehow explain to me why black politicians are consistently opposed to this when, if we want to be honest, many of them don't even send their own kids to public schools?
It's true. And right now, as through the African American Marriage Association, we're trying to have those real conversations. We as electeds cannot say something is not good enough for our kids, and yet it should be good enough for somebody else's kids. There's a lot of electeds who make sure they go to private schools or they move into neighborhoods who have really good public schools, and yet they protect policies that subject our children in underserved communities to go to that failing school pattern that you showed. We need courage and we need leadership. Adrian Fenty is a great example here in D.C. He fought for the opportunity for kids to go to good schools, and yet what happens politically, he doesn't get reelected. So we've got to have the courage to know there's a consequence at the end of the day, but doing the right thing should not be an option.
And again, I want people to see this, pull this graphic up. All elementary schools failing, all middle schools failing, the high school failing as well, and then we wonder what happens with our kids. Mayor Johnson, I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. When we come back, folks, we're going to talk about Nebraska getting rid of the death penalty, the first conservative state to do so, and also not having any luck with online dating. We'll break down three new dating apps that could help. It is 9 after the hour. News 1 Now on TV 1.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
In Nebraska, the state senate yesterday voted to abolish the death penalty. Conservatives joined with liberals to push the repeal forward, despite a plea from Republican Governor Pete Ricketts to keep the death penalty in place.
I urge all the senators who will be making this vote, please sustain my veto. Please stand with the citizens of Nebraska and law enforcement for public safety. Do not vote with Senator Chambers to weaken public safety. We do not want to send the message to criminals that we are soft on crime.
State Senator Ernie Chambers, an independent, longtime Democrat, though, had introduced the repeal 38 times over the last 40 years. After the vote, Chambers said, quote, "Today we are doing something that transcends me, that transcends this legislature, that transcends this state. We're talking about human dignity." I want to talk about it right now with our panel, Troy Johnson, news anchor here in D.C., Michelle Hudgens, communication strategist, and Devon Love, leaders of A Beautiful Struggle. Folks, now Maryland had already done this.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a movement going on across the country. Senator Chambers, the only African-American in the legislature, has been leading this for the longest. I believe folks are seeing that the reality is you cannot show me stats where somehow the death penalty has reduced crime.
Well, I think there's a mythology around this idea that, you know, Republicans or conservatives want small government, Democrats want big government. Well, really, it's a question of where they want big government. Republicans, traditionally have wanted big government in the military and criminal justice. And what this demonstrates is the fact that it's unsustainable, right, to continue to support policies that are so costly, that are so ineffective. And particularly, if we look at policies that target, people of African descent, people of color, we find that it is these kind of policies that are unsustainable that have been directed at our communities in terms of mass incarceration and, in terms of, measures like the death penalty that historically has affected primarily, African descended people. We see that those policies are not sustainable. And so I think it's important for us to look at this measure not as some moral coming to Jesus moment for Republicans, but it's just simply not in their political economic interest to continue to pursue those policies.
Go ahead.
It's interesting. The governor said he wanted to be tough on crime, but they have not killed a person on death row since 1997 in that state. They haven't even used the lethal injection yet because they've had problems with that policy in that state. So there are a lot of other underlying issues along with the fact that the tone for death penalty in America, obviously a flawed system, people are not really feeling
it. But the thing here that I think that's critically important to recognize is that when you talk about conservatives, and I've made this point, please tell me how you are pro-life when in the womb, but you're not pro-life when it comes to out of the womb. Uh-huh. That was always an issue for me. I'm like, so don't tell me you are ardently pro-life, but then you are dead set supportive of the death penalty.
Well, it's, it's a juxtaposition of humanity. They even heard from the Pope, who talked about the inhumane nature of what this actually represents. And again, when you look at the law, when you look at their ability to carry out what they say is the law, when you look at what the senators have said were their concerns and their ability to use it as a law enforcement tool, like, it just doesn't line up. And you can't continue to not line up, not have all the duckies in a row and expect that you're going to be able to actually do anything. And I think this is a case where it just doesn't make sense anymore. It's not even the nature of who we are as individuals when you look at our country.
Do you believe that with Nebraska making this move, again joining Maryland in Illinois, where the governor also abolished the death penalty, that with this move that we may very well see the domino effect with other states across the country?
Are we at somewhere between 19 and 23 states at this point that have either done a moratorium or have passed laws to change? It's possible, but I think you're going to have problems in some of these states, some of these Republican-controlled states that are going to say this is a tenement that we're going to keep in place and we're not getting rid of it. I could see that happening in a couple of states that it's a non-discussion. Interesting, though, with Nebraska being such a Republican stronghold, can other states, you know, kind of, can you see a litmus test there that may work in some other states?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, William, what is the model? What is the model? Because clearly there was a strategy here, and the vote wasn't close. Mm-hmm. This wasn't like they overrode the veto by a couple of votes. It was a wide margin.
Yeah.
I think they're going to do, you know, also that happened in Nebraska, like they actually, like you said, they hadn't actually been able to do it because the drugs that they used had actually expired. And so because those were drugs that were required by their state law, they weren't actually able to do it. I think a lot of states are going to allow their own rules to kind of get them out of actually having to make a decision.
Well, again, I think, Devon, here, what's critically important is when you listen to folks who make the argument that it reduces crime, it simply doesn't. I mean, at all. I mean, it's not like, well, I can see. No, it is not a deterrent to crime.
And I mean, the history of measures like the death penalty, the history of, you know, policing, the history of, you know, incarceration in this country was more about controlling populations of black folks during times when, you know, Jim Crow segregation, you know, was the law of the land. And a part of, I think, what's important to remember is that a lot of things like the death penalty, like the criminal justice system we see in its current incarnation, are extensions of that same Jim Crow system. And so there is no argument as to why it reduces crime, because it wasn't built for that in the first place. That wasn't what it was built to do.
Hold tight 1 second, folks. More with our panel when we come back on News 1 now. Also on the show, we're going to talk about these dating apps. It's pretty funny. Pull this tweet up. This sister here, she said, Lord, Roland Martin's about to help me find a man. That was Veronica. She said, about to help a sister find a man. We're talking about these various apps, so it's going to be pretty funny. Well, you see, the tweet is public, so I thought it was pretty funny. All that coming up next on News 1 Now. Also, we have a What the Hell Thursday. A man stripped down butt naked in the airport. The hell was he thinking? Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter like Veronica did at Roland S. Martin, and go to our News 1 Facebook page, and also stay tuned, stay up to date with and informed by going to news1.com. 20 after the hour, News 1 Now on TV 1.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
Folks, welcome back to News 1 Now. So the NBA Finals will be the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Golden State Warriors. Last night the Warriors beat my Houston Rockets 4-1. I love the Wizards fan like Henry in the studio talking trash when they couldn't even make it to the conference finals. But that's how it is for some folks. All right, so but here's what's interesting. Here's the big controversy, okay? It's not LeBron in Cleveland. It's not all this sort of stuff. It's the media acting like a bunch of whiny people because of this. Shelly, go to my iPad, please. This was 8 hours ago. Here's a photo from NBA TV from their Twitter account of Steph Curry and his daughter Riley at the news conference. All of these people are now mad and upset because little Riley is still in the show. You see the caption, social update, Riley Curry is the number one trend in the U.S. right now. Okay, had more than 976 favorites, 604 retweets. I'm gonna go to my panel because all these media folks are up in arms saying, look, we got a job to do, we on deadline, you know, she's running around the podium and he's not answering our questions because he's having to stop and talk to Riley. I'm like, shut the hell up.
I'm kind of like Riley, I'm bored.
Who's watching the post game show? Most people are out. Sorry, Roland, when the game is over. But I think Riley is must-see TV. People want to see her. She's a little girl. Her thing.
But his was nuts. His was nuts, okay? So I had some dude send me a tweet. Well, how would you feel if kids were running around the newsroom and you couldn't get your job done? No, the equivalent is if media folks brought their kids, okay? Steph at work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The rules allow for Steph or any other player to bring their kid.
Let's go back to who was it that just from Seattle, from
which one? Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn Lynch you know, thanks, boss.
Right, had no kid, he wouldn't answer the question, not folks mad.
All he had to do was be there. He made a statement, and that was it. That's what his requirement was. So,
well, Steph actually did. He did, you know, answer the questions. He did that, but he also apologized because, you know, he was being human. He was being real. Besides just being, you know, a ball player or a commodity, he's also a husband and a father. So he actually was being responsible. He said, "We've never done this before." He said, "Please forgive her," and he answered their questions.
But the whining, then we're on deadline, and we got a job to do, and we got to sit here and wait, and it's just you should bring your kids to the news conference. Shut the hell up.
It's a strange contract. Addiction in a society that claims to be interested in, you know, the nuclear family, family values, and then particularly the demonization around the black family.
Right.
You know, you would think this would be an opportunity to demonstrate to people that black folks have, you know, important relation with their children, and to demonstrate that affection that oftentimes in mainstream media we don't see.
Well, especially
so it's a strange contradiction.
Especially when you have folks in sports who do stories, who can forget, and I'll try to find it in a minute. The Sports Illustrated cover from years ago. With a little black kid on the cover story is all these NBA players who are absentee fathers.
Mm. Right.
Okay, I'm sorry. So how about you become a member of the media and you're right. You actually write something saying, "Oh my goodness." Not only that, we often talk men being absent. So forget just even black fathers not being there, but men not being there. Here's a man with his child,
right,
on his lap at the news conference, mm-hmm. but they're whining and complaining as opposed to praising, saying, "You know what? This is a great sight for America."
Because there was no story. You know, when it's Gabrielle Union, D. Wade, and the kids, and it's a story, then it's one thing. And when it's LeBron's kid at his basketball game, then it's a story. But because there was no story, because she was just a cute little precocious little girl, it's a problem.
The media complained about Riley being at the first press conference. He brought her back. Enough said.
Well, I do think what is critical for us is to force that conversation in saying, wait a minute, how do we on one hand talk about so-called family values, mm-hmm. but then get mad when we actually see family values?
Right.
Because there are some people who are watching who may see that, and they're not just seeing a little girl run around and being precocious. They might sit there and say, "You know what? I'm watching Steph. I might need to be a little bit more involved in the life of my child."
Well, right. The other piece, too, is, you know, there's a demonization and criminalization of black young people. And I think a part of what we're seeing is people not seeing, you know, Riley as a cute girl with her father, right? But all these representations of, you know, quote unquote, this bad girl running around, not behaving herself, you know, not realizing that that's what kids do. Kids are naturally very energetic. It's hard to get them to sit still. Yeah. You know, anyone that has children understands that that's an important part of rearing children. But I think, again, I think a part of that is when you look at the way that black young people are criminalized, people won't see the humanity in something as simple as a child being with their father at work.
But also expanded, because here is a son who went to work with his daddy. Mm-hmm. And what are we seeing on television? We're seeing daddy and mama. And again, I know some folks may say, "Well, I don't really see all of this," but when you watch the NBA, because I've always been critical of this, when you watch the NBA draft, when you watch the NFL draft, it's so much focus on the moms. It's a dude sitting right there in a lot of those cases, and nobody, the announcers never say that's daddy.
No.
Right. I mean, you're sitting like, okay, mm-hmm. who the dude sitting right there? I know I'm seeing the dude cry, and they rarely ever say, "Hey, that's so-and-so's daddy." Well, they always focus on the mama. I do believe these having him there in the photos and trending does send an important message to the general public. And so this is not just, well, media whining. No. This really does matter in terms of the image that is presented when we see Steph Curry and we see him and his daughter and later with his wife and his mom and dad. That is a critically important image because compared to last year when Kevin Durant got the MVP, when he cried, talked about his mom was a real MVP, about her being a single mother. I think you need to see that image as well.
Right, mm-hmm. Because let's be clear, if Steph was going through a divorce and there was a custody battle, she'd be all over the front pages and the covers, and that'd be the story constantly.
Or if Steph had a kid, wasn't taking care of the kid.
Right, but that's not the story, so now it's a problem.
Well, I say to all the members in the media, shut the hell up. Serious, suck it up. It's not stopping you from right on your deadline, and so it'll be all good. So stop complaining. I certainly appreciate it, folks. Thanks a bunch. Michelle, you said you want to stick around for the next panel? Is that what you said?
I might want to just hear.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Coming up, black women are the least desired group in online dating, but a few new apps might solve that problem. We'll talk about trying to get the right hookup for you. And look, I ain't Chuck Woolery, Michelle, so don't be trying. Don't be trying. That ain't what I do. Ain't no backing 2-2. All right, you never guess who a man got to represent him in court. That's later on, of course, on What the Hell Thursday. Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter, Roland S. Martin, or go to our News One Facebook page. And again, go for more news and information, go to news1.com. 28 before top of the hour, News One Now on TV One.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now.
All right, so who remembers when it used to be you went to church, you went to the grocery store, you're walking down the street, and you see some bump into somebody, you know what, they look good, I want to holler at them, and then let's date. Now, of course, technology has changed all of that, and people are going to online dating. Really? Really? Okay. So dating apps are the latest craze, and it's a huge deal. But the question is, are they helping black single folks? According to a 2014 OkCupid survey, black women are desired the least among these various apps, even among black men, after Asian, Latina, and white women. So black men don't even want black women, according to this survey. Black men are desired less than white and Latino men, but women like them a little bit more than Asian guys. So what in the world are black single folks supposed to do? So let's talk to right now. Let's talk to sexologist Michelle Hope, who's here to explain. All right, Michelle, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
All good. So I'm trying to understand here. All right, so what's the deal? Why, black women, nobody want a sister?
No, I think that what we really need to focus on is the fact that that research, although OkCupid put it out in 2014, it's a part of a bigger study done by Are You Interested, which is associated with Facebook. I need to let people know, 2.4 million people were surveyed in Are You Interested? However, two-thirds of them were over 35. So that gives you a totally different demographic of people.
Okay.
Because what we're seeing now is that young millennials, first of all, think that interracial dating is okay, it is fine. So that's that demographic 18 to 29. 93% of that demographic from a Pew survey done in 2010 think that that's fine. But if you're looking at—
Well, that's interracial dating. No, follow me here. See, here's the thing what happens when we say, well, they think it's fine, but the question still, though, is what does a person desire? So, I mean, for instance, I'll tell you, as a black man, I've had sisters like, yeah, I bet you one of the brothers got a white woman. I'm going, well, where in the hell did that come from?
That's crazy.
You know, but again, because there's this sort of this perception. So, although we might say, oh, no, I'm cool with interracial dating, mm-hmm. the question still comes back to, yeah, but what do I want? What do I desire?
Well,
it's a little different deal.
I think that a part of these surveys is a part of the problem because so many people will buy into surveys and things.
Gotcha.
They're not. I was just out last evening and I had a gentleman, Caucasian, speak to me at a bar, and he said he liked dating women of color but doesn't know how to approach because of this research that says black women are this and black women are that. We've been given a bad rap. And we have given other races a bad rap by assuming that we're not wanted or desired. And we are, very much so.
So let's talk about these apps, okay? So we're talking about you're trying to get the hookup, you're trying to sit here and get all dated. You checked some of these out, so
I did.
Give me one.
All right, so the first one we can talk about is Soul Swipe.
Soul Swipe.
Yes.
All right.
Swipe. And that one is actually being compared to as the Black Tinder. The problem with that is it's a hookup. There is no kind of checking. It is Tinder. It's a lot of nothingness. People on there looking crazy. You know you don't have a job. You just swipe it right on by because you don't have a job. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So that one is kind of opening the gate to everybody. Not a bad thing, but you need to know that's just a hookup.
All right. Okay. All right. Just the hookup.
The second one.
Some folk looking for just a hookup, but okay.
And you
I
know
got
it.
You.
Oh, you know it. You know that.
All right.
The
What's
second
the next one,
is called Meld. And Meld.
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 All right. Come on. Let's pull it up. Let's pull it up.
Yes. So Meld is actually the newest dating website for black professionals.
Do you want me? I can pull it up on my phone.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So this one is really, really interesting because it links you in with LinkedIn. I really like this concept a little bit better. Here's the problem. We don't have enough people on Meld. We need more people to sign up.
Now, of course, now LinkedIn is one of the social sites that a lot of recruiters use.
Yes.
And that's a business deal. So you have to put what your job is on that. Go to my iPad, please. This is the Meld website, dating designed for black professionals. And their motto is you deserve to be happy. All right.
So they do deserve to be
happy. They're linked to LinkedIn. Okay.
They're linked to LinkedIn. And they calibrate your likes and dislikes. So if you like someone or if you pass on someone, you're only allowed to see 5 people per day. And when you pass on them, they then will start databasing that for your specific profile.
So, okay, so on this site, if you pass on, you have to explain why you passed?
No.
It's just you passed.
Just passed. But then because you keep passing people, it'll start to give you different people, but it starts to understand your desire.
So it's telling you you're weird.
Perhaps, but there's a dating app for that too. Now, what I think is interesting is it is professionals. It's linking you in with LinkedIn. What I don't like about the app is you gotta pay.
How much?
Well, it depends. If you wanna see your likes, you can pay like 99 cents, $1.99, or $4.99. So, and we need more people to sign up for
that. But that's part of the deal with also with LinkedIn is that you also pay for their services.
And that's
just one of the deals there. So, all right, so let's go to
the
next
third one.
Let's go to the third one that is that you find to be it's interesting because you find it to be very exotic, mysterious, but it's also extremely selective.
Extremely selective.
It's called
The League.
Okay, The League.
Yes.
Dates intelligently.
Yes, and this one takes Meld just one step further. So not only does it go by your Facebook and your LinkedIn profile, you have to be vetted and chosen.
Okay, so how do they do that?
So I spoke with the CEO, Amanda, yesterday, and she explained it as universities, when you go to a college and you put your application into a college, they want to create a diverse ecosystem on their campus. She is looking to create the exact same thing. She wants to create a dating pool, not of people that are just swiping crazy, but of people that they have thoughtfully put in to this group of people you can date. And they're all highly intelligent.
The league, pull it back up, please. The league, is it driven by economics? Is it driven by education? What is it driven by?
Everything. It's driven by everything. So it's a combination. So first, they're gonna look to see where you went to college. Second, they're gonna look to see where you've worked.
So for the league, if you didn't go to college.
Oh yeah, good luck, goodbye. No, I don't wanna say that. I don't wanna say that because they're also looking for creative types. But you have to have something special about you.
Wow.
And you have to have it on your LinkedIn. So what happens is, in New York, there's over 100,000 people waiting to get on the list and get access into the league.
So this is like the VIP section of dating.
Yes, very much so. And the other thing is that when I first saw the league, I'll be very honest, I was like, oh no, here we go again, another Silicon Valley situation for Caucasian people, right? And it looked like that. I followed them on Twitter, I went to all their kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
But then what I came to realize after speaking to Amanda was that it's not about black and white, it's about finding great people and keeping the ecosystem of that dating community diverse. So for example, she told me in San Francisco, it's a lot of tech people. If you're a tech person trying to get on, you're probably not gonna get on
because there are too many. Wow.
So they need creative types. They definitely need people of color because it started in San Francisco.
Now what's the cost for the league?
The league is free if you can get
on
the list.
All right, so are you on the list?
I am on.
You finally got in, because we talked about 3 weeks ago, and you were not in.
I was not in at all. But and other things, they block you from your coworkers. Like they know all this. They block you from your coworkers, so your coworkers can't see you.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's a great app. So please sign up.
So did you get in before talking to the CEO or after?
Well, we won't go there.
Okay, gotcha. Uh-huh. All right, where can folks reach you for more sex, dating, and good information?
Absolutely. You can reach me on my website, www.mhsexpert. Please leave your comments, leave your questions. Follow me on Twitter, mhsexpert, and as well on Instagram.
All right. Michelle, I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch.
No problem.
Coming up, News One Now's What the Hell Thursday. Eddie Kane, Deja Perez, Antonio Lambert is Join us to break down some of the craziest stories of the week. We're going to find out if any of them on these dating apps. Hit me up with your thoughts on Twitter at Roland S. Martin and go to our News 1 Facebook page. It's at 14 before top of the hour. News 1 Now on TV.
Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
All right, birthday shout-out time. Carolina Panthers tackle Michael Orr. You know, he was in there. What was that movie? What was that movie?
Blindside.
Yeah, will you please, I don't know why they didn't put it in there. Noni, way to go, Noni. He turns 29, otherwise, why are we talking about Michael Orr? And I'll call the queen. The queen, well, we got the queen of soul, Aretha Franklin. So we're going to call, what are we going to call Gladys? She the queen,
Godmama?
There you go. We're going to call. She turns 71 years old.
She looks good, too. Today.
Gladys is phenomenal. So on this day in history, 1986, Explorer, really? Matthew Henson, honored by the U.S. Postal Service with a 22-cent stamp on this day. In 1963, civil rights leader Medgar Evers' home was bombed 2 weeks prior to his assassination.
Wow.
Folks, you know, every Thursday, we got all these crazy stories. It's What the Hell Thursday. So to break down some of the stories, welcome back. You an actor?
Yeah.
Oh, what have you been in? Acting, radio, and you in Money Matters?
Yeah, Money Matters.
What's that? That's a YouTube movie? Antonio is in
Christmas Blessing on TV One.
You in that?
Yeah.
Oh, what did you just like walk by in the back of the scene or something like that?
Had a one line.
Gotcha. Yeah, one line.
I got a check.
Yeah, that bought you a Happy Meal. Entertainment reporter Deja Perez is also here. We got talk show host Eddie Kane here, and he wish he was in the Five Heartbeats. All right, so let's go right to our stories. If there was a showdown between a pickup truck and an alligator, who you think gonna win? A Tampa, Florida man was on his way back from camping when he came across the gator. He yelled at it to move, but the animal lashed out and ripped off the bumper of his Toyota. Gator one, truck zero. I'm just trying to figure out. You yelled at the gator. Hold on, I need y'all to show that again.
Did y'all see what the gator did?
Move out the way. Gator, get out the way. Get out the way.
Okay.
That gator said, okay, I'm just gonna go here and just snatch your little. Do you see how he just treated that bumper like a rat?
The way my teeth are set up, see.
But I'm sure his insurance provider sees this is not covered.
It is actually covered.
Mako.
Okay, I'm just letting y'all know. I ain't stopping.
No,
and I'm not gonna tape it.
How about you back up and get out of his way, though?
Exactly.
But I know. How about you roll right the hell over?
But if you're gonna roll, you don't creep. That's my point. You need to roll
gunning that bad
right,
boy.
Exactly. Not creep.
First of all, I don't care, Peter. I'm gonna gun that gator. I'm gonna throw it in reverse. I'm gonna gun it back. And when that sucker ain't moving again,
you're gonna put him in the back.
That's gonna be about 4 or 5 pair of boots right there, baby.
Yes, sir. I knew where you were going with that.
You know, if that was a brother from Detroit, I'm telling you right, the whole family be outfitted with gator shoes, gator hat, gator jackets.
Well, shout out Nissan. Know. Y'all need to be forward tough.
I feel bad for the truck company. They should stick American.
Yeah, Nissan should be forward tough.
Obviously, that Toyota's not.
It was a Nissan.
It was a Nissan.
He's like Toyota, Nissan, same thing. He don't know. Come on, Deja. Come on, nah.
Know your cars. I'm just saying.
He don't know.
I know my cars.
You know him.
I'm sorry.
Come on, nah.
I drive a Ferrari.
All right, let's stay in Florida. A man.
Don't do that.
Right. Nice little Hot Wheel.
Don't do that.
All right, in Florida, a man. Man decided to have a heart-to-heart with his wife about getting a divorce.
Wow.
She wasn't having it.
At all.
30-year-old Vivian Palmer proceeded to pour barbecue on her husband.
Sweet baby Ray's.
Barbecue sauce. But they just said barbecue. I'm like, she dumped some ribs on her. She poured some barbecue sauce on her husband. Y'all, she grabbed 2 butcher knives and vowed to carve him like a turkey. She now faces multiple charges, including aggravated assault.
How much are your ribs? That's what she said.
Did she pick the wrong sauce? I mean,
they've been doing this. This is some freaky stuff that they've been doing all the time.
Babies were in the car. Like, so her children, she had like a 4-year-old and a 9-year-old, and she had put them in the car, and I guess was like, sit tight for a second. I need to go handle your papa right quick.
But what made somebody put barbecue sauce on them?
He broke out and he tried to like run out the house, like, help, police, help.
help. And she was like, uh-huh, I got your police.
Still, but where does the barbecue sauce come into play?
Y'all see what happens here? What happened here? These two didn't read the story.
I read the story. Deja got her research, but she offering detail.
No,
I read the story, but my point is, who sits there and allows somebody to pour barbecue sauce on him? I mean, she rips his shirt open and then pours the barbecue on him. And he sits there like, come on, lick me.
Maybe it was a rip and splash. Like,
that was a damn good waste. That was a damn waste.
Where does barbecue sauce come into play in this whole thing anyway? I just need to know, why was barbecue sauce picked? Why was barbecue sauce picked?
If it was D.C., it would have been mumbo sauce.
What the hell did you want? You wanted some honey? What?
Mumbo sauce would have been better.
See, told you.
Potash?
They black. What is wrong with y'all?
Mumbo sauce. They're not in D.C.
Never had mumbo sauce?
You know what? Y'all need to try.
We're going to bring you some.
Do y'all have a passport? Y'all know you can leave D.C. without a passport.
Yeah, we understand.
Let me go to a break while I post the damn barbecue sauce and leave it right here. This is News 1 Now on TV.
Your centerpiece for black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
Yeah, we back with the Mambo Brothers, Antonio and Eddie, and also Deja right here. All right, scroll up. Come on, let's go. Let's go. A religious leader in Turkey says masturbation can make men pregnant. Mukahid Sihad Han responded to a caller on live TV stating that men who masturbate will find that their hands are pregnant in the afterlife.
It's going to be
Han was slammed, no pun intended, by critics on social media after making that utterly ridiculous statement. Mambo Kings, do y'all have expertise?
It's going to be an influx of pregnant hands.
I'm just wondering how many kids I'm going to have. I'm going to have. I'm going to have a whole lot of kids in the next life.
That's more than I ever wanted to hear in my entire existence. I can't.
I'm just saying.
Hey, wow.
Hey,
TMI.
Hey,
yeah.
Also, I'm the only one that's going to have a lot of kids in the next life?
Hey.
Really? Really, Roy? Really?
You added shock value to that.
Oh, Lord.
That was too much.
That's why I'm not a Muslim.
We ain't shaking
Don't
your
do
damn
that.
Hand.
Okay? There's not enough hand sanitizer in
no,
the world.
Wow. It's not.
I think that's about a man's culture, though. That's a part of the man's culture. Masturbation is a part of the man's culture. I'm done. Look at your brother.
Hell yes, you done. You've been done. I'm hitting his ass with some barbecue sauce. That's
mumbo
what I'm about
sauce,
to do.
Brother, mumbo
I'm about to
sauce.
Hit him up. Hold up. Before, look, we got to go in a minute. I can't get to this last story. No, I can't get to it because old trifling Eddie over here forgot to tell our producers about some janky concert he got later. He's going to come in here. Hey, Roland, I need a favor. Can you mention my concert?
Yeah. That's right.
I said, it never occurred you to mention anybody before you got here. So now we're just going to, no graphic, no photo, no nothing. We just got to slide it on in. So tell us about your little janky concert, Eddie. Hurry up.
Independent concert, July 1st, Howard Theater, some of the biggest independent artists, hosted by your man, Eddie Kane, and my celebrity friends.
Yeah, Squad is Squad,
We're going to bring you out, too.
Y'all a part of it? Yeah, when is it?
July 1st. I want you to come.
No, I'm going to be at Essence.
Oh, you gonna be? Oh,
that's I ain't gonna be at some independent
concert. We normally would be at Essence.
You lying? You normally
this
ain't getting no invite.
This is everybody on Canal.
This is DC Essence, right?
Razzoo.
Right. What
With
the
mambo sauce?
Right. What the hell is a mambo sauce festival? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's a mambo.
Right. Mambo sauce is your concert promoter. That's what it is. Whatever. Tomorrow, Lamon Rucker on the show. That's all you need to know. Holla, Mambo boy.
Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with your host, Roland Martin.